The story of King David and his son Absalom is much, much longer than we read today. Although in the service for this Sunday, I have more of the story there so that you can see as the day goes through this terrible day of battle, the angst, the anguish that the king is having as he's in such anxiety about the safety of his son. But the lectionary framers cut us short with that because so that it would not be so long. But it misses the heart of the story to cut it out, to cut it short like that. It misses the heart of the story because the story is about David's heart, his deep, deep love for his children, no matter what, even the treachery of this son, Absalom. David's agonizing anxiety about Absalom all through this day of battle, which ends, as you heard, victoriously for David the king, but so tragically for David the father. Everyone who lives life for any distance suffers loss with grief. That has been the case in your life, I know. In my own life, my earliest grief was the death of my grandmother, whom I call Mom. I loved her very dearly. And the physical pain of losing her swelled up in my throat and in my chest for months after. It was 65 years ago. I was 11 years old, and there have been many others, but I remember Mom's death as the most painful to me. Probably in your own life, there is such a thing. Now, in the Bible, in the shocking, horrific, infamous story of Genesis 22, God says, "Abraham, Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and offer him up as a burnt sacrifice to me." You know the story. Rabbinic scholars have made much of the story in Talmudic discussions and retellings. And in that story, as we have it in the Bible, at Genesis 22, Abraham does not protest or question. He merely obeys. He meekly responds, "Here I am, Lord." And then he obeys. He goes about to do exactly what the Lord says, which may indeed be the sole intent of that story. But you see, there's another version of that in which God says, take your son, your only son, and Abraham interrupts firmly and boldly, "I have two sons." And God says, "Your son Isaac, whom you love." And Abraham retorts, "I love them both." Abraham truly loved both Ishmael, his firstborn son, and the only child of the slave woman Hagar. And he also loved Isaac, the only son of his wife Sarah. And he was deeply grieved when Sarah, in a fit of jealousy, insisted that Abraham send Hagar and Ishmael away into exile. But he did it anyway. Once again, you know the story, because God intervened and God ordered him to go ahead. And God promised that he, God, would look after Ishmael and prosper him. And that indeed happened. Now, still thinking about that story and common discussion of it, and Abraham taking up Isaac on the mountain to kill him as a sacrifice to God, someone always wonders aloud how the boy's mother Sarah felt about this. The Bible is silent on that. But Hebrew scholars like to point out that in the Bible, after that happened, Sarah never, ever spoke to Abraham again. The story in Genesis 22 is the scandal of Holy Scripture, and the fact that God stopped Abraham in the instant before he killed the boy, that fact is not saving either for Abraham or for God. It's a disgrace. It's a disaster. Death may be welcome. Death may be untimely, crushing, and devastating. A lost loved one cannot be replaced or grief eased by focusing on a substitute, on another person, another child, another son or daughter, another loved one. According to the list at 1 Chronicles chapter 3, David had 19 sons by 7 wives, and yet his grief at the death of his son Absalom is terrible. The story has such pathos that even today, 3,000 years later, it is absolutely impossible to read it without choking up. For all his children's faults, and there were many, David, the shepherd king, truly loved his sons. He adored his children, and nothing can replace a lost child in a father's heart. Now, I grant you this morning that pulpit time should be a happy time. It should be good old Bible stories and chuckles, but a sermon also should be about life, and it should be about life as it is. And sometimes, as in today's story, life becomes just too heavy to bear. In our local community across the summer, several teenagers have lost their lives in car accidents, and there have been other tragic losses from illness. For loved ones and friends, the burden of loss and the anguish of grief can be overwhelming. It can be a time of unending darkness. Reading the story of David and Absalom, I thought just to touch on that this morning as my gospel message. Dozens, hundreds, perhaps, of books have been written about grief and grieving. I've read a number of them in preparing for my own training for mentoring grief support groups. Those are small gatherings of people who are recently bereaved. And the best book I've read, which is The Unwanted Gift of Grief by a fellow named Van de Vindick. Van de Vindick, the author, makes the case that grief and the process of grief and making our way through grief is what helps us hold on to sanity and even to life itself in our time of bereavement. There's no way around grief. When we have it, we have to go through it in time and toward healing and going on with life. And sometimes, it's not for everyone, but for many folks, making part of that journey in a small group with other people who also are grieving helps us and helps them and helps us help other people through the darkness. The fellow who wrote this book is a Christian minister, and he says that grief is a divine gift in our human nature to enable us to cope and to go on through time and survive mentally and physically and emotionally. Now, it's not included as part of our Bible story this morning, but David's generals, you probably remember, David's generals were absolutely disgusted with him for being so distraught at the death of Absalom. One man, when 20,000 brave soldiers died in the battle that day. But David was inconsolable at the death of his son. And the Bible itself says at Psalm 116, how painful it is to the Lord when one of his people dies. If you've been there, you know it's no good when a friend says, I know how you feel. Because one who has not been there cannot possibly understand such grief, as obviously David's generals did not. And for those who have been there, grief varies so much from person to person in depth and in intensity that no one can know the heart of another. This story is about David, is about God's own chosen king. David was a loving, doting father whose grief was no more nor any less than we may suffer. And yet David went on with life, as we can also. If, like David that day, you're in a time of sorrow or remembering sorrow or trying to help someone that you love through their sorrow, or perhaps this old Bible story about David's loss and grief rekindles some sadness that you had long ago put aside. If you're there today, then I pray God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Jesus called him the Comforter, and he is our Comforter. And he comes to surround you with the love of family and friends and to bless you with hope for this life and the life to come. And so if you're there this morning, my prayer is with you. If, on the other hand, you are in a time of special joy, I pray that God may increase your happiness. God may enrich the blessings of his kingdom by helping you to share your joy with others, because that's what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. This is my short gospel for you this morning, and proclaim it to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.